Here's a thought I'll title, The World in Two Dimensions. One of the things I love about these Here's a Thought commentaries is that I'm always thinking about photography, and that often leads me into some very unusual places. And this is one of those, I'm afraid. It occurs to me that there's two realities about photography that are absolutely inescapable. The first is that photography compresses the world into two dimensions. That's undeniable. That nothing we photograph is actually two-dimensional. Even if we photograph, you know, the proverbial brick wall, there are three dimensions in that brick wall that get compressed into two dimensions. So everything we do, to some degree or another, is a fiction. The world simply isn't what we photograph. Once I had that thought about the inescapable two-dimensionality of photography, it also occurred to me that simultaneously we shrink the world into a consumable size. We can do a grand landscape that gets reproduced as an 8x10 or an 11x14 or a 42-inch print, all of which are a compression of what we see in the world. Everything is smaller. The only exception I can think of is there is some macro photography and some photomicrography that makes things bigger than they are in real life. But for the vast majority of photography, we shrink it. So we have this dual function of photography to both two-dimensionalize and to shrink the world into what? Into consumable bits. Into a size that's more conducive to carrying around with us, be it snapshots of our loved one in our wallet, to hanging on the wall above the fireplace, which you obviously can't do with an actual landscape, to reproductions in a book, which are mostly much smaller than the real world that we see with our eyes. Well, all of that's interesting, a bit intellectual, but interesting. But then it occurred to me that what happens when we view a photograph? Well, it's kind of the opposite. When we view a photograph, our mental visual capabilities expand the two-dimensional photograph we see into a three-dimensional representation of the world as if we were looking at a three-dimensional thing, when in fact we're still looking at a two-dimensional thing. And at the same time, our imagination expands what we see in the photograph to the size of real life. So there's a compression and an expansion, both in dimensions and in scale. Everything we do is geared towards accomplishing that compression and reduction, and simultaneously presenting the image in such a way that our viewers can reverse all of that with an expansion in both dimension and scale. And if viewers don't engage their imagination to expand to three dimensions and to life size, then the photograph remains somewhat inert, somewhat dead. It doesn't fire the imagination. And that's what good photographs have to do. Now, the obvious exception to this, you might say, is abstract photography, which has no scale. And since it's abstract and we don't even know what we're looking at, we don't know what it would look like in three dimensions. But abstracts have a different kind of challenge, and that is to engage our imagination into an experience that might be more similar to what happens with a Rorschach test. We project onto the two-dimensional image a three-dimensional image of our imagination and a scale of our imagination. I'm not exactly sure where all this thought leads, but it is interesting to think about that the tricks of photography that we use, all the tools of photography, from lighting to aperture to shutter speed, cropping and framing, etc., all of those are tools that we use to engage the viewer's imagination so that they can do the appropriate expansion into three dimensions and scale in their mind's eye, in a way that it sort of takes the viewer out of their reality and into a little bit of a journey.
Copyright 2024, Lenswork Publishing.